Hey everyone, I assume we're ready, and welcome to another episode of the Silver Screen Scoundrels, where we review everybody's favorite pastime, the movies. We are your hosts. I'm Colonel Bob.
And I am Ian, and we are not alone once again tonight. We are joined by Derek. Derek, we've been in here for about 15 seconds. It's getting chippy already. How you doing? you going to make it?
I don't think we're going to make it. I think it's going to be real interesting tonight. I think that there's going to be laughs. There's going to be tears. I think there's going to be a moment where we're going to come to blows. It's going to be a fun time.
I don't think we're going to come to blows. How can you
it's
come
that
to blows?
It's that kind of attitude that is exactly why we're going to come to blows.
He means virtual blows. He's going to blow you virtually.
No, I'm really excited to be here. I've been thinking about this movie for days. I'm really excited to talk about it.
I just want to say, you've watched it twice already?
I have.
Good Lord. Did your score fluctuate? We're not going to reveal the score, but didn't go up or down?
No.
Should I say down?
No, it didn't go down. Not at all.
Well, I will say that I've only seen it once. Sorry to disappoint you. But I do plan on watching it again. I don't know if I'm going to do it in theater, if I'm going to do it when it comes out.
I say do it in theater. I watched it in 3D the second time.
Oh, that's right. You did tell me that. And you said the 3D was decent, but not.
Yeah. I'm not impressed with 3D, but the movie still stands on its own and it's amazing.
That's good.
We're talking about Guardians of the Galaxy.
Bob. Guardians of the Galaxy. We have not mentioned that yet. Sorry. We are talking about Guardians Volume 3. And I have no box office numbers whatsoever, but I do know they're high.
I'll pull them up while you're talking.
I do know that it's doing well. Derek's going to pull it up while I continue to ramble. And. I don't know what to do.
Sitting worldwide right now at 318.7 million.
Is that all?
Yeah, that's all.
God.
The weekend domestically, it pulled in 118.4 million good. On its opening weekend.
Needs to keep going.
Yeah, it does.
So let's dive straight into this. I was not expecting. I'm assuming that everybody that's here has seen the first two. Like somebody in this current room. But I like the first two a lot. Okay. I would go as far as to say I love the first two. This was very different from those, not in a bad way at all, but there was a lot more emotion, a lot more heart. And if for some reason you are here, but you haven't seen the movie, first of all, I say this every time, shame on you. What are you doing? Go watch the movie. Second of all, there's some hard to watch scenes with some animal abuse, animal cruelty, call it whatever you want. And they're all like, even though they're just these little, you know, like CGI animals, they're the most fucking adorable little things I've ever seen. So it's hard to watch some of those scenes that, and this is full of spoilers. I'm going to ask you guys how you feel about the tone of this movie versus the other two. Different, Bob? The same? I mean, it still had its jokes and everything, don't get me wrong, but...
I think the tone in this one was phenomenal. I think this is a perfect movie. Whenever a flashback happened, whatever it was flashing back to is the exact opposite of what we were seeing. Like, if something was good happening to the present, it flashed back to something bad happening to Rocket, and vice versa. Whenever something good was happening to Rocket in the past, something bad was happening to the Guardians in the future. So I thought that was a very neat back and forth. I gush over this damn movie. James Gunn, I hate that we're losing him to DC. He is amazing.
Well, you guys can keep him if you like.
Anything he touches turns to gold. He's going to make DC rock, I promise.
you just reminded me of that line. You guys have seen the movie Harlem Nights, right?
Yeah.
Yes.
Was he so good? Was she throwing the air? It turns into sunshine when Hillary said that. That's what you just reminded me of. You heard me.
I agree with you, Ian. I do think that the tone in this one was quite a bit different. while still feeling very much like a Guardians movie. They did a really good job of incorporating all the grief and the sadness. I mean, I've been talking about the soundtrack for this movie since we watched it on Thursday night. And
I keep trying to get him to stop.
I won't. I've listened to it so many times. This was the perfect soundtrack. It's easily the best of the three, in my opinion. But starting out the movie with Creep by Radiohead and the acoustic version, and having Rocket singing along with it as he's walking around, and it's just mirroring his thoughts and everything that he's thinking about who he is, and the lyrics of that song work so well. It immediately put you in the mindset of, this is Rocket's story. Rocket is broken. He's lost. He doesn't feel like he's worth anything. He doesn't feel, you know, he's just a freak. He's a monster. He doesn't like who he is. The other two Guardians movies started, you know, with, even though they started with a sad moment in the first one, you start with Peter's mom passing away, but it immediately cuts to Star-Lord dancing to Come and Get Your Love. And then in Guardians 2, we get, you know, Baby Groot dancing as the battle's going on. And in this, it's like, oh, we get to see a bunch of terrified baby raccoons. And then that raccoon that was then like tortured and altered, now singing one of the saddest songs ever about someone who feels like they're worth nothing. And it set up the story and the feeling of the entire movie so perfectly. And it was funny and it was fun. And there was a lot to love about this movie, but it absolutely was a much sadder tone than the first two volumes.
Yeah, I couldn't agree more. Sorry, I didn't know if you were going to say something.
No.
And don't get me wrong, like the second movie does take a turn and it does get really sad toward the end, but this whole movie, like, it started off that way. Mm-hmm. I agree with you. I do like, very much like Radiohead Creep. I do like the acoustic version of that.
Mm-hmm.
You don't? You do? Okay. I do like the acoustic version of that, but I've always not been a big fan of the edited version of that song.
Yeah,
it takes a lot away from it personally, but it was perfect in those.
I was disappointed they used the edited version. I understand, because it's a PG-13 movie, and in order to get the incredible scene of Nebula not being able to open the door, you would not have been able to do that because they would have had multiple F-bombs drop in the opening song.
That's true. I do gotta say, like, side note about Radiohead, I love that Tom York hates that song.
I do too.
And it's just like,
I think he's crazy. It's such a great song.
Like, I'm sorry, man. I'm not saying, like, I do like Radiohead, don't get me wrong, but I'm just saying, like, if I found somebody that didn't, I'd be like, name a Radiohead song. They're gonna be like, Creep.
It's their most popular song.
Another one, they're gonna be like, Creep, the acoustic version.
Yeah, it's easily their most popular song.
So I just think it's funny he hates that song.
Yeah. But yeah, the edited, it was funny. I was actually listening to it this afternoon. I was mowing the yard and it was on. And when you're listening in headphones, you can hear very clearly that he's not happy about editing that word to very. Because it's just like, you're so very special. You smoking yet?
That was what I think. That's immediately what I thought too.
That's what he sounds like.
You smoking yet?
That's what he sounds like. But yeah, this Bob's this like, I'm about to be. Yeah, I know. Bob's like, all right, I'm already ready. I'm ready to go.
Bob, you overall like the whole soundtrack, didn't you? As a whole, like you would rock it like a rocket.
Well, like, I think it's awesome when Gunn writes his stories. He writes the songs into his scripts, and I think that's amazing. And I think every song he picks worked perfectly. Because, like I said, whatever he touches turns to gold.
That is true.
Yeah.
And like Adam Warlock.
This movie is no different. Yeah, like Adam Warlock.
So what did you guys think of Adam Warlock? Do you think he was worth the wait?
I think he was awesome. I do think he needed a little more screen time, but I understand why they couldn't. Because they had to wrap everybody's story up and show their growth. And something I loved about this movie is how every character, including Kraglin, got a chance to shine. And I thought that was phenomenal. Phenomenal. Even though it was Rocket's movie, it was all in all his movie. Every character got a chance to shine, and I loved it.
Especially Cosmos.
Oh, yeah, Cosmo. I love Cosmo. Bad dog. One of the best running jokes I've ever seen in a movie was her being so angry about being called a bad dog. And yeah. Kraglin just doubling down every time. Take it back. Take it back. Can't do it.
It wasn't true.
But so, Ian, you asked about Adam Warlock before we get on to Cosmo and all of that. I wish they could have done more with him in this movie. I understand completely why they made the character choices that they did. It didn't bother me that he was more of a comedic character. They took some broad strokes of him when he was first created, and they put him in they adapted it very well. I think that Will Poulter will be amazing as they go on, especially if they get to the Magus. Which, if anybody doesn't know what the Magus is, it's just an alternate version of Adam Warlock from the future, where he's driven crazy and he starts a massive church called the Universal Church of Truth, and basically it's just a giant cult, and he's a really creepy villain. But I think that he would do really well playing that if he gets a chance to. But for what they needed him to do in this movie, I thought that it worked well. It wasn't what I was expecting, because I had just done that character breakdown for Nerd Initiative. And so I kind of had him in my head as being a little more, I don't know, not as childlike, because he was essentially a kid, and they made him
more mature.
The reasoning behind it was perfect, that, you know, he was taken out of his cocoon early. They explained it great. He matured throughout the movie. You know, his powers look good. I'm excited to see what they do with him. I could have used more of him in this one, but it was already a pretty packed movie, and he didn't really have the time, you know, to shine that he needs to later. So I really enjoyed him, but I can understand if someone's a huge Adam Warlock fan being a little frustrated about how he was used in this movie.
Yeah. Are people frustrated? Has that been the talk?
Nothing major, because Adam Warlock, while a very important character in the comics, is not an overly popular character. And so there were some people that were like, you know, he was just kind of a big dumb baby. He was essentially a bounty hunter in this movie. He just didn't have a lot to do. So I can understand if you're a big Warlock fan, being a little annoyed. But I think the potential is there for him to grow into that character. They just needed him for a different role in this.
So have you guys played, or at least, I was going to say, have you finished, or at least played the Guardians video game?
I've only gotten to play a little bit of it. They took it off of Game Pass.
Really?
I started it, and I got a little ways in it. I got past like the first. I got to the Nova ship at the beginning, so I got through like the intro of it.
Okay.
And well, and then they took it off of Game Pass. I know Adam Warlock, and I know the.
Well, I was going to say it's the Universal Church of Truth.
Yeah. Yeah, I didn't know that. I was looking up. Because like I said, I did that character breakdown for him, and so I was doing some Googling. I was looking for pictures online to go along with it. A cheap plug, go to check out Nerd Initiative as well. We do character breakdowns. I write all of them. We did a two-parter on Adam Warlock. Real quick, easy to digest who these characters are. But I was looking for pictures to go along with the video, and I came across a couple of things from the end of the game, and I was like, oh, that's a bummer. I had kept myself from being spoiled, but it happens. It's my own fault for not playing it earlier.
Bob, what's your excuse?
I just never played it.
Oh, okay. That's a good excuse.
Not against it. I just never played it.
I think you would like it a lot. It has a lot to do with team play.
Mm-hmm.
And there are like team up moves that you could do, and you literally like gather everybody up and do like a pep talk, and that kind of fires them up. And then the soundtrack is really good, just like
soundtrack's great. From what I've heard of it, it's great.
Mm-hmm.
It was a lot of fun. I just, like I said, they took it off of Game Pass right after I started playing it, and so I'm gonna have to buy it so I can actually play it.
When you do one of your team up moves, one of those songs will start playing like really loud in the background, hype you up, and you get special abilities and stuff.
Oh, that's cool.
The only bummer about it is like I really hate the character designs in that game. I think they look silly.
Really?
Yeah. Something I wish they would have explained in this movie again, it's not hurting my rating at all. But Star-Lord never wears his helmet, and it never
not once
where it is. Even when what happens at the end, you know, he could have saved himself with that helmet. So where the hell was it?
I wondered the same thing.
Yeah.
Because there was nothing in Infinity War, nothing in Endgame, nothing in Love and Thunder that explained why he doesn't have his helmet anymore.
Yeah.
Because that would have. He would have survived. He didn't have his boot jets.
Yeah.
he didn't have his helmet. But I don't know what's going on with Star-Lord. He had an awesome new costume. I love the Guardians like team suit.
Yes, I did like those.
It looked fantastic, but I loved
the character development of all the characters. I love that you got to find out why Drax is the way he is. A lot of people complain because he's the comic relief, but you understand now why he's a comic relief because of this movie. Nebula, you know, full on growing throughout the movie, I thought was awesome. I loved that Gamora and Star-Lord didn't get together in the end. I love that they never found that love again and got back together. Because
why do you love that, Bob?
Because if they would have got back together, that would have made her death pointless. There wouldn't be anything, I can't think of the right word, but I can't think of the right word, but it would have made her death pointless if they would have got together.
So it would have taken away all the consequences from her dying.
Yeah.
I agree with you, Bob. I think that if they would have let her and Peter be back together, it would have been as if nothing happened. And they could have done that because James Gunn didn't want Gamora to die. He wasn't on board for that.
They took a character that he created and killed him without any input from him. But he took that though, and he did something awesome with it. I loved what he did with it.
Yeah.
So it was great. Mantis growing and, you know, becoming her own. I thought that was awesome. Kraglin. I mean, that it was awesome. Him, you know, actually getting an arc and actually getting to grow and figure out how to use that damn arrow. And I love it that he didn't know Gamora was alive. I thought that was awesome. I thought that continued with the continuity of the films. You know, I thought that was awesome. So, I mean, it just, I can't say enough good things about the movie.
So
the villain, love the villain. And if it wasn't for Purple Man, this would be my favorite villain in the MCU.
I mean, he was wearing purple.
He was.
He was a purple man.
And Thanos was a little purple, wasn't he?
Thanos is definitely purple. Kang wears purple.
That's not a lot of purple.
A lot of purple villains in Marvel.
Yeah.
I love purple.
But yeah, to your point about the character growth, it was great. They did a really good job all the way through with everybody, because, you know, especially with Rocket, because they got a chance to show literally from his beginnings and his birth as this character to who he is. And he's gone from all these movies of being kind of cowardly and brash, and he doesn't really want to be the leader. He doesn't want to be the one that everybody relies on, and they explain why that is. And I think one of the most powerful moments of the movie is at the end when they're all trying to run away and he just turns around and he says, "I'm done running." And that leads into an incredible fight scene.
One of the greatest action scenes in the MCU. My favorite thing about the movie, my favorite scene, my favorite thing is I loved that the audience, we understand Groot now. And I thought that was phenomenal that we understood Groot.
I was going to say, you were talking about growing out there. Speaking of growing, like, look how big Groot is. Look how swole he is.
Isn't that a little swole Groot?
Swole Groot. Yeah, swole Groot in Christmas special and in this. But being able to understand him, I thought was great. And then Gamora started understanding him right at the end too, because of the time she spent with him. So I thought that was cool.
It's a mess with me, right? You're just making up things that you think he's saying, right?
Yeah. I know who you are.
It was really fun watching Zoe Saldana get to play a different version of Gamora, because we haven't really seen that version of her. Because in the first
full length like that.
Yeah, in Guardians 1, she had already gotten to the point where she's like, okay, this is wrong. I can't do it anymore. I'm turning against Thanos. And so we'd seen a more noble version. This is Gamora, like at the beginning of in Endgame when we see her, she had just like mowed down enemies for Thanos. She was still in the thick of it. Yeah. And so that's who this character is. She's had and then she went on to, for the last year, however long it's been since, you know, she came back at the end of Endgame, of working with the Ravagers and being essentially a space pirate. And so seeing her, or having her get to play this more brutal version of Gamora, which is somebody in the comics that is, you know, she's the most dangerous woman in the galaxy. That's her moniker. And so getting to see her play that is a lot of fun. I love Zoe Saldana, and I love that she got to play such a different version of Gamora. And everybody was so almost disgusted at the way that she was acting because she seemed so different. Like when she was just shoot first, like just pulling a gun on what was her name? Yura?
Yeah.
Ratcatcher 2?
Ratcatcher, yeah.
I love it.
That's a complaint that I've heard that James Gunn you know, brings his family and his friends in his movies, but every director does that. Every director does that. There's no reason to shun him. I think it's awesome that he gives actors.
You're talking about TDK?
Huh?
You're talking about TDK?
TDK.
Nathan Fillion, wasn't he the detachable kid? And
Yeah, he was.
Wasn't that his name?
And he was the voice of the guy that Groot put the nose in the first one.
Yeah, he's in like all of his movies. And it would be a problem if the people that he worked with and that he put in all of his movies were bad actors.
Yeah.
But they're not. They're all good actors. His wife's a good actress. Nathan Fillion's a great actor.
But did we see how good Nathan Fillion looked?
Can we just make that man
Nathan Drake already, please?
I know.
yeah.
I was just glad he finally got to show his face, because in Guardians 1, he was just a voice. In Guardians 2, he was a deleted scene. He didn't even get to be in there. You barely blink and you miss a poster on a wall. You can see
it was just
with his
posters,
face. And so he actually got to be a character, and he stole every scene he was in. He always does. But his complaint about his complaint about the worker that he hated and his side eye to him every time that he talked about him. It had me. I laughed out loud every time he was on screen. He was perfect.
Yeah. Overall, had a lot of heart. It had a very different tone from the first two. Not a bad thing. Focused a lot on Rocket's backstory, which I think was very important. Something we needed. Adam Warlock, I thought, was fine. I don't have any real complaints about him. I know you guys kind of went over like a lot of people's, you know, the fan complaints about him. I don't think it's that big of a deal. I think he did all right. I don't think it needed to be so much about him. I agree with Derek said. They even mentioned in the movie that he was taken out too early. What should you expect? Mm-hmm. And then people were still like, oh, that's stupid. I'm like, well, they already covered that, and you're still complaining. Something else. Now it's escaping me, but it had to do with did you guys think when you watched the previews and the build up to this movie, did you think at least one of them was gonna die?
Yeah.
Yes.
And I thought it was about to be Drax when they were there and he got shot in the back, and I was like, here it comes.
Yeah. I was so uncomfortable throughout this entire movie because we haven't really talked about complaints. I have two nitpicks about this movie, and one of them is the fact that nobody died, and no one agrees with me, and that's fine. Yeah, I understand. I didn't want the characters to die, but
sounds like to me you wanted one of them to die
for story's sake. Yeah, absolutely. I think one of them should have.
It didn't hurt the story at all.
It absolutely hurt the story. It hurt the future story as well. Are you going to let me talk, Bob? I already told you we're going to come to blows. Can't I finish? All right. So leading up to this movie, Dave Bautista and Zoe Saldana both said they are done working on Marvel movies. They've got other things going on. They're not coming back to the characters after this. They are done. James Gunn said, this is my last time. This is the last time we'll see this team the way that they are ever again. There has been talk of finality. when the movie was premiered, people were saying that the ending was brutal. People were in bawling hysterics about the ending of the movie, talking about how you're not prepared for this. So there has been a hype and a lead up to this movie to make you think that someone's going to die. Every single person that was talking about this movie leading up to it, who do you think is going to die? Is it going to be Rocket? Do you think it's going to be Drax? Are they going to kill off Drax?
That didn't take away from the tragedy and
not for you. Let me finish what I'm saying, damn it.
Sadness throughout the movie. Lila died. Tiefs died.
Lila Tiefs and Floor died, and it was very sad, but they're not main characters of the team. And here's my problem with the movie. Here's my problem with the ending. Knowing that Drax is not coming back, knowing that Gamora is not coming back, it has now hampered future storylines that they may want to tell with these characters, because there is no narrative reason for them not to show up in a future movie. If they do what it feels like they're going to do, and they're going to do something huge again, like they're going, like with Endgame and Infinity War, there is zero reason for Drax not to be there. Drax is still on nowhere taking care of these children. And you're going to tell me that if a massive cosmic threat shows up to nowhere, that Drax is just not going to help fight that off? It makes no sense. They're now going to have to make up some contrived, ridiculous reason. Oh no, Drax was, you know, on vacation this weekend, so he's not here.
How many times has an actor said, "I'm never going to do this again"?
Dave Bautista will not come back as Drax.
Give it a few years.
He could not. Look, he didn't.
Sylvester Stallone said he would never do another Rocky, and then boom, Rocky Balboa, which is probably the best one of
the series. But the reason that Bautista said that he wasn't going to do another one is because he thought he was getting too old and out of shape. He's clearly in really good shape in every movie he's in. So,
I'm sorry. Look, he's not in great shape in this movie. Dave Bautista straight up looked fat. Like, Drax looks fat in this movie. Look at his face, man. Look at him. He doesn't look like Drax anymore. He doesn't. He can't do the shirtless scenes. He doesn't want to do the makeup. He's not coming back to play Drax again. It hindered the story, and it took away the stakes of this movie.
I can't wait till he comes back to
you cannot have.
We're going to clip this and put it on there before our show.
No, you're not.
And Bob is going to email Dave Bautista
himself. Bob doesn't know how to do any of that, so don't worry about it.
He will learn to spite you. He will learn to spite you.
Throughout the entire movie, it built up the tragedy that was coming. It built up the threat of the High Evolutionary. It built up the threat of everything that was going on. And the fact that not one of them had any finality at the end of this movie hindered the story for me. You can keep arguing with me. I'm glad it worked for you. It was a nitpick for me.
Two of them died. Rocket died for like
a minute.
And Star-Lord died for like 14 seconds, which, by the way, I get what I'm about to say is fucking ridiculous. I get that because of the type of movie this is. But the fact that his face swelled up and broke and everything when he was out there and he was frozen in space, then bringing him back would not have saved him.
Well, yeah, but isn't he part Eternal or whatever?
No, that's gone.
Oh, that's
going to say. Yeah.
When Ego said, if you do this, if you blow up the planet, if without me, you're nothing, you'll just be human.
I didn't know that.
So at the end of Guardians 2, when they blew up Ego, he doesn't have any of those celestial powers that he had before. Now, he may have some body modifications, because they mentioned that in the first Guardians, saying that Gamora was able to survive for a couple of minutes in space because of her body mods. So maybe he's got something like that.
But
again,
I also assumed
if they would have just put his mask
too
on him that he's had in the last every movie that he's been in, why doesn't he have it now, just so you can have that moment? I thought that was a real stupid moment. They were going to kill him. You cannot convince me that James Gunn didn't want to kill off at least one of these characters. James Gunn
like
is
saying,
not somebody
I think
that
it
plays
was because
safe.
Of her race as well, and because like, you know, I would imagine like maybe her organs would be a little different, and you know, maybe that could be why she could survive something like that. But Peter Quill, who is now, we agree, 100% human in this movie, shouldn't have been able to. I mean, at first, maybe, but like everything would have just basically exploded inside of him.
It's hard to tell how long he was actually out there because they did slow motion. I think that they've said you can survive up to there's a certain amount of time that you could survive in the vacuum of space, but I don't remember the amount of time that they said. Somebody was talking about that there actually is
15 seconds.
No, I think it's closer to like 30 or 90 seconds. Actually, you can actually survive that long. But either way, it didn't ruin the movie for me in any way, shape, or form. I just thought it was way too safe of an ending to be a final goodbye.
Disagree. I thought it was a perfect ending.
I'm glad you disagree. Luckily, we're talking about our own opinions, so I'm glad that you have your opinion. I don't know why no one else is arguing with me. Just Bob.
I'm just saying I disagree.
Yeah, constantly. I disagree with you. I'm going to disagree heavily with your rating because I know what it's going to be. But here's the thing, though. Again, like I said, it's a nitpick. I still love the movie. I just thought that they played it too safe with the ending. And I think that it would have served the story for them to make the stakes a little higher, because you've got this character in the High Evolutionary that is brutal and powerful to the point where they say, oh, he's basically a god. And you had nobody die. No one died. Groot died in volume 1. Yondu died in volume 2. The one that is the most brutal and tragic, everyone survives. I think that it was a way too safe of an ending.
Disagree.
Okay. Well, I think we all have a mixed bag on that of opinions, and that's fine.
It's not fine. Bob's wrong.
That's what we do. That's what we do here. Oh, he's stewing.
He is. He wants a cigarette so bad. He just
he wants to put it on your fucking eye, dude. So overall, we could be here all night. Let's kick off ratings. Derek, why don't you start? Because I already know Bob's rating.
Everybody knows Bob's rating. So yeah, like I said, I only had the two nitpicks. The one I didn't talk about was really small. I thought that the second act went on about maybe 5-10 minutes too long. I felt like it started to drag and then picked back up quick enough that it wasn't a problem. So I would say that this is a solid 8.5 out of 10. I really enjoyed it. I don't know that it was my favorite Guardians movie, but yeah, I really enjoyed it.
What rating did you give it? Sorry, I'm going to tell you what I was just looking at. A friend of mine actually just sent me a picture, Derek, of that. I'm pretty sure he got the fucking 12-inch Batman from The Flash.
Oh, nice.
Yeah, and I just saw a picture of it, and I was like, is that the 12-inch or is that the 7-inch?
Just messed you up,
didn't it? Nothing else mattered, yeah, and I was just like, oh, yeah. That reminds me, like, I forgot to get mine from
you. I know, I forgot to bring it to you, but anyway, I gave it
a... What was your rating? I heard every word you said, I didn't hear the rating. 8.5, okay. Bob, go ahead. I know yours, but I want to hear you say it out loud again.
I think that this is very close to being my favorite Marvel movie. I think it's right up there with Winter Soldier, and could possibly be above it. I don't know, but it's a 10 for me.
I respect it. I don't think anything is a 10, but I respect it. Yeah. All right, nobody's in the mood for joking and laughing. All right, so
no, I told you you're gonna hate it.
I don't hate it. I just said I respect it.
We don't hate it when you give things a 10. I'm excited that you enjoyed it. It's just you are kind of coming off like an easy lay right now because, you know, it's you're giving 10s out just left and right.
You just hand them out. Just really you're like Oprah. You get a 10.
You get a 10. unless there's a woman that's grieving over their husband, and then that's a 4.
Well, she wanted to screw a ghost, but we're not getting into that right now.
Oh.
But if it's an old woman and an old man screaming as loud as they can in a farmhouse in the 70s.
Not dying of a heart attack. Somehow.
Not dying of a heart attack. You know, earlier you're
get on to me for arguing with you about your complaints, but yet you can argue with me about the stuff I love. It's just funny the double standard that you have.
I think we just are a little confused as to why you love one thing and hate another. I get that to you, they're not on the same level. I get that to you. They're not on the same level. a woman fucking a scarecrow was all I needed to see. I swear to God, Bob, if she fucks that scarecrow.
I didn't love that movie. I didn't give that a 10.
Let's make that very clear. Yeah,
hey, Bob did not give that one a 10. Shelby walked back into the room right when I said, I swear to God, if she fucks that scarecrow.
Just very confused.
She's very confused.
And disappointed.
I was going to give it at least 8.5 as well, Derek.
I think that's a fair. I think that anything's a fair.
That's solid 8.5, right, for Guardians.
Anything above
9,
7.
Shelby says 9. Shelby's up there with Bob. Right, wow. Below Bob. She's a 9. Now I will say she's seen the first one. She's never seen the second one. She hasn't watched the majority of Marvel movies, but she loved this movie. She gave it a 9.
We're gonna have to fix that. If she's gonna be around, she's gonna have to watch the Marvel movie. She's not gonna understand anything that's happening when we talk.
Nothing wrong with that.
And I loved that movie.
She did. She loved it. Well, I think that pretty much sums up what we were all thinking. So, and I'm going to say that every single time, Derek.
Ashley says 7.
7?
Wow. Man, so why did she hate it?
I think with her, it comes down to the seats that she hates the most. And the longer the movie, the more uncomfortable she is.
I don't blame her for that, but she's like 5'2" and like the size of a little twig. Try being my size. Try and find some comfortable seats in a theater. No, they don't exist. They hurt.
Especially
so
those
bad.
New seats. I like that.
We complained about those old rockers.
3D. Really?
Oh, it's terrible. We went and saw Dungeons and Dragons, Allie and I, in 5. For anybody confused, our theater's a 6-screen, and they've got a couple of the theaters have different chairs than the others, and they are terrible. They're terrible.
Terrible. So, yeah. Derek, do you remember the LaGrange Theater? They actually had
semi-comfortable
seats, and they had like the lounger, like
the love seat. Oh, I love the love seat. Oh, man, I miss my theater. It was such a great thing. I can't believe they tore it down.
Yeah, I know. I think it breaks my heart. The weather was going to do that regardless, but
well, probably.
Well, like I said, that pretty much sums what we're all thinking tonight, and appreciate you guys being here. Derek, I don't know why you're giggling so much.
I'm just getting ready to thank everybody for just indulging us on our random trip down memory lane.
Bob's going to be in bed in about 30 seconds. We need to. Time's a ticking. He just looked at the clock.
I did. I was like,
didn't you? I knew it. So, all right. Well, Derek, do you have anything you want to plug? Your Nerd Initiative thing. What did you say it was on? You do the character breakdowns?
Oh, yeah. Nerd Initiative on YouTube. We've been doing character breakdowns for characters that are going to be appearing for the first time in movies. And we just most recently did High Evolutionary and Adam Warlock for Guardians 3. I don't know why I blanked on that. I'm not sure what the next one. I think we're going to do one about the Skrulls coming up, even though they've been in a movie before. It looks like we're going to get the more villainous versions in Secret Invasion. So yeah, they're a lot of fun. They're 2.5 minutes long. Just a real quick, easy breakdown. Let you know who the characters are in the comics. Check them out. Also for anybody listening to this, tune in 9 o'clock on Thursday, the 11th.
Mm-hmm.
We're going to be doing our
Bob
first.
Will be there.
We're going to be doing our first live episode of Paperweight Entertainment on YouTube. So if you're listening to this on the podcast only, make sure that you check out the YouTube page on Thursday night. That will go up like it normally does on the audio on Friday. If you don't want to join in live, but it would be really nice to have you. So come and check us out.
Come and hang out.
Come and hang out and watch us be real super awkward on our first live show.
Oh, yeah. It's going to be cringy to watch, but we're going to have a good time there.
Yeah, it's going to be a lot of fun.
And for all three of you watching, it's going to be a good time. On a serious note, we have been the Silver Screen Scalpers. Thank you, Derek, again for joining us this week on our show. I say our show. It's basically, you know, the three of our show at this point. We can't get rid of you. We do keep asking you to come back, so I get that it's our fault. But on a serious note... This is true.
It's true.
It is true. We are.
We are. We are the co-owners.
We are. We have a document to prove it.
We do. I signed it.
I love that when he signed it, he's just like, what is this?
Yeah. Bob started signing it, but and then midway through his signature, what am I signing?
What is this? And I started laughing. What, he was like in the truck signing it. What is this in the dark? I was like, are you not going to read that? Derek's like, all right, thanks, man. All right, Gabe, get out. You belong to me now.
Yep, you're mine now, buddy.
But yeah, we have been the Silver Screen Scoundrels. Thank you again for joining us. And as always, so long and good night.
Bye, everybody.